you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Acts chapter 16. And we're going to be looking at verses 16 through 19. So while you guys find your way there, I'm going to read these verses and then we'll pray and jump into it. It says, "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. The girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, 'These are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed to us the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out of her that very hour. But when his masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities." Father, I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us when we do step out. And as we look at Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke stepping out in your name, they run into trouble. And Lord, even as we just discussed, if we step out in your name and stand on the truth, we're going to run into trouble. And it's not always just people. Lord, oftentimes it's demonic, as we're going to see this morning. The demonic realm attacking against Paul and those that were sharing the gospel, as well as the physical attack from people he'll get as we get further into the chapter later on a different day. But Lord, I just pray now that you would encourage us to understand the cost of discipleship, the cost of following, the cost of stepping out, as we look at this portion of scripture, and God, that you would again just minister to our hearts what you want to say this morning, teaching us your ways, and even, Lord, how to better battle against the demonic realm. So we thank you, Lord. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, again, as we look at the cost of stepping out, guys, let me just say this. It's not easy to step out in the name of the Lord and do ministry. Anyone can be saved and go to church. That's easy. What's hard is stepping out and being a witness for the Lord, especially stepping out in public like Paul and Silas did, going and making their name, the name of the Lord known, and making their name known as they stood out and the opposition that came against them because of that. And so by stepping out and being a witness and a voice, it brings a cost with it, which we're going to see. But also we're going to see for Paul and Silas, again, the consequences. Even though there were consequences, we know there was great reward. So when we step out, yep, consequences, be prepared, but great reward for stepping out. Now, as we get into this, remember, we're right in the middle of Paul's second missionary journey. We saw last week where Paul had gone to Philippi, and he met this lady by the name of Lydia, who was a seller of purple. Remember, she was very wealthy, and she gave her life to the Lord and invited Paul and Barnabas back to her house, and Luke and Timothy back to the house, and they stayed there. And while we're not going to see Luke and Timothy in this passage from this point on, they were there. We know that. We just don't know. They weren't arrested, so their part of the story is not told, but they're all staying there, and they're living life there and sharing the gospel in the streets and anywhere that they can, because remember, there was no synagogue. And as they're traveling around, the four of them sharing the gospel, they now get a new traveler with them that they don't want, and it's a demon-possessed woman. And that's where we're going to take up here in verse 16. And again, whenever you step out in the name of the Lord, one of the things you're going to face is demonic activity. You've got to be prepared for it. Notice it says in verse 16, "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling." Now there's a lot in this verse. The first thing I want you to notice is as they went to prayer, a demon opposed them. And it's no different today. Have any of you ever experienced that? You've set aside a time in the Word. You've set aside a time in prayer. You've set aside a time to seek the Lord. Maybe you set aside a time just to go to church or whatever, and it seems like the entire demonic realm just attacks you because you're trying to do something that is seeking God. That is to be expected. Don't be surprised when Sunday morning is chaos. It may not always be chaos. But don't be surprised when you're trying to set aside a time in the Word and prayer that the phone starts ringing. And here's the bottom line. Look, it doesn't mean that the person calling you is demonic. It may be a good friend. You know, you don't answer and say, "Get thee behind me," you know. Right? It doesn't mean that. What it means is the enemy begins to stir activity to get you away from the things of God. And if you haven't noticed that, you better start noticing, because it's a regular tactic of the enemy. And so, again, I encourage you to have a time in the Word and prayer, but do it in the early morning. Now, for some of you, I just spoke death into your life. I realize that. But you know, listen, the only time you're ever going to be able to be alone and quiet where the phone's not ringing and you're not starting on your to-do list because the stores aren't open yet is going to be in the morning, when you have time to get in the Word and get in prayer, and you need that filling of the Lord. You need that strengthening, that time in the Word, that relationship building with the Lord. You need that. And so the same thing's happening here on their way to prayer. Sure enough, the demonic realm shows up. Look, I'll give you a quick example. This morning, this never happens. There's a lot of spiritual things going on right now that we're involved in at Calvary Chapel. There's a lot of things, even making a stand for Israel, our upcoming Easter. We have the people that are coming as guests. And there's a lot of stuff that I've been noticing, just weird stuff happening. And I'll give you, just this morning, I've tried to get my notes transferred over. They kept disappearing. They just deleted themselves. Right? This kind of stuff never happens except when it's time for the teaching or there's something going on. And I recognize that. I was like, okay, Lord, deal with it. And you just pray about it. So I bring that up to say, you got to learn to pray. When you see these things, ask God to rebuke the demonic realm. It's an attack from the enemy, but we continue on moving forward in the battle. And so secondly, notice she was possessed by a spirit of divination, a demon of divination. And that really is where all palm reading and the things like that come from, mediums and all that. It comes from demonic spirits. And so we need to recognize that. And there's some people that say, yeah, but there's something real about it. How did they know this? How did they know that? Guys, let's back up a minute and think about the demonic realm. The demonic realm is watching our lives. They know what we've been doing for the last few years. They know our relationships. They know our likes. They know our dislikes. The demonic realm is very involved in all of that, which means if you go to a fortune teller or you go to somebody giving a psychic or whatever, they can say things that no one would know except the demonic realm. They certainly know it. And because we're easily manipulated, what happens? We go, oh my goodness, it's real. And they draw people in by that. Guys, listen, it's real, but it's real demonic. This is not something that is to be taken seriously. And say, well, and people ask, well, can demons know the future? Can they know what the future is or not know the future? No, I do not believe the demonic realm can know the future. And can they know our thought? Well, they know what the Bible says they know, but that's it. And they can make pretty good guesses. And the other question is, well, do they know what we're thinking? I do not believe they can look into your mind and read your mind. But listen, if my wife knows what I'm thinking, the demonic realm does. So they watch us long enough, right? They know our patterns, they know our thoughts, and so they can influence and be involved in things about what we're thinking about and what we're doing. So don't be shocked by any of that. This is simply the demonic realm, and it's spiritual, and that's exactly what's happening here. And so she is being used by them. It's interesting, the spirit of divination, the word it uses there is the spirit of Python, which interestingly enough is a snake. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? But again, if you know a little bit about the history and the Greek pantheon, outside of Athens, a few miles out, and quite a few miles out, 70 to 80 miles out, there was a temple to Python, if you will, that they worshipped. And it was believed among the Greek pantheon and those that believed in all that Apollos came and kicked Python out and took over the temple that was out there. And so Python's spirit was still in that region, but not still at the temple that it was at. And they believed that the Python spirit was there. And they said this woman had now received the Python spirit. And it's interesting about that. Again, the whole temple was supposed to be to the center of the earth and all this kind of stuff. But again, specifically, the reason they believed it was the Python spirit is because with this particular possession, the people were talking kind of a low guttural tone. And the language also reveals it was kind of the sound almost like a crow. I was hearing some crows yesterday, they're kind of annoying, just the sound, right? And we're going to see this lady's following them around for many days, these are the servants of the Most High God, ha, 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 right? And Paul's going to lose it. Come out. We'll get to that in just a moment. But imagine the voice that's happening here. This is why they believe she was probably possessed by this spirit of Python. And notice what happens here. It says in verse 17, this girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, these are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. So imagine how annoying this would have been. You say, well, why in the world did Paul let this go on for so many days and not address it until after many days? Because guys, note this, was demonic, but it was the truth. Note that. Satan lies a lot. He's the father of lies. But when he can use the truth and do the same thing, he'll do it. And she was saying, these are the servants of the Most High God who show us the way into salvation. That's exactly true. But it's the way that it was being done. It wasn't drawing people to the Lord. It was pushing people away from the Lord. And guys, note this. The enemy will often use those who even claim to be believers or maybe even are declaring the truth, but they're doing it in such an obnoxious or rude way or unacceptable way that rather than driving people to the Lord, it drives people away from the Lord. Listen, that tactic is still used today by the enemy because it works. There are a lot of good people on Christian TV, but there are some on Christian TV that to me are no different than this woman. They're making Christianity look so foolish while they speak the truth that the thinking person goes, I want nothing to do with that. And it drives people away from the gospel. Because we're not to present the gospel in a way that makes it look foolish. We're to present it in truth and in power and the authority of the Word of God. There's nothing foolish about that. And so, again, learn to recognize. And this is where discernment comes in. And I want to encourage you guys, look, there is a wrong kind of judgment. And we all know the Bible says not to judge, okay? But that's speaking of the type of judgment where you're judging someone else on your opinions. In other words, I think you're not godly because here's what I deem as godly. Or I think that you're wrong because I see this. That's a wrong judgment. We're to stay away from that. But the Bible says we are to be discerning and we are to evaluate what we're dealing with. We have to be, Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. And if God gives you discernment about something, if you're watching some speaker or you're watching some Christian TV show or you got somebody in the group who claims they're a Christian and they're speaking truth, but you're going, something is just off here. Don't despise discernment, okay? We stay away from judging. I get that, the wrong kind. But there is a place for godly evaluation and discernment. And if God gives you a spirit of discernment, you hold on to that and you evaluate. Paul was doing that. She'd been doing this for many days. Probably the reason he waited so long is she's telling the truth. She's claiming to be a Christian. She seems to be a part of our group. But I mean, you know, the fact that her voice is annoying, that's bothersome. But I mean, a lot of people have annoying voices. You know, you may think mine is right now, but either way, the bottom line is that, no, that wasn't enough. But God began to let Paul know, no, this is wrong. This is wrong. And now Paul recognizes it, and Paul's going to address it. I just want to encourage you guys. The demonogram is very tricky. And they don't always come looking evil, and they don't always come lying. Sometimes they come looking very good and speaking the truth. But you've got to learn what the Word of God says and whether or not it lines up with the Word of God. And if something in your spirit is giving you a check. I had someone just saying to me yesterday, I think it was yesterday or the day before, there's something that is just not right. I don't know what it is. I'm like, look, just hold on to that. Don't despise discernment. Wait on the Lord. God will show you if something's not right. And so we need to be discerning as believers, especially in the days in which we live today, because there's a lot of demonic activity going on, and there's going to be a lot of increased demonic activity going on because of all that's happening in our nation and heading into the last days. Because the Bible says that's going to be happening. So we as believers have to be more discerning and to see how Paul dealt with this, the way they dealt with it. I love the fact that Paul waited. He gave it a while, although she was annoying. He gave it a while and said, am I just annoyed? Is it a personality clash? Is it just her voice? Or is there something demonic? And notice what he does here. Finally, after many days, he figures it out. Paul, being greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And so Paul knew right there at that moment, this is not of God. Boom, get out of here. And notice it says, and he came out that very hour. I don't want to make a lot of this, but I want to notice it says he came out. Because the only gender you ever see given to angels in the Bible is masculine. There's no female angels anywhere in the Bible. Sometimes people say, what about the women there in one of the, you know, in one of the prophecies where the storks fly off? No, that's demonic. Storks are unclean animals. And it's being shown as demonic, unclean beings, if you will. It has nothing to do with angels. That's a whole other discussion. I only point that out. I'm not trying to ruin your angel display that you have or whatever. But notice this. He says, he turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And she came out that very hour. Now, this brings up the question, are we to directly rebuke the demonic realm? I get that question from time to time. I got it recently. Yes and no. Yes and no. Let me give you some balance. And then God will work that out between you and him. The Bible, there's not a lot of detail on this in the Bible. So this is something we have to work out between the Lord and us. But I'll tell you what the Bible does say and where I stand on it. It's interesting that when Moses died and God buried his body, God had Michael protect the body of Moses. You wonder, why would he have to do that? There's all kinds of reasons. I think that, again, remember, if Satan was to possess Moses' body, he could just get up and walk in the camp and say, remember all those Ten Commandment things? It's all changed. Right? And, oh, okay, God spoke to him again. So he could have done a lot of damage. God didn't allow that. God had Michael there protecting the body of Moses. And when Satan showed up, he didn't say, Satan, I rebuke you. You notice what he said? The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Now, they were equals. They were both angels, okay? The Bible talks about respecting the authority structure of heaven all the way down to earth. We are given authority over the angels in doing the work of the Lord, but they're still over us right now in power because they're greater than we are. And the Bible talks about respecting position and respecting authority. Remember when Paul was standing in front of the Sanhedrin? The high priest said, strike him. And so they struck Paul. And Paul said, God will strike you, you whitewash wall, you know, and this kind of thing. He's kind of striking back at who's striking him. And somebody said to him, do you not realize that's the high priest? Well, this was the high priest that had pushed to get Jesus crucified. So he says, do you not realize it's him? And Paul didn't say, yeah, I knew who it was, that dirty, rotten scoundrel. I mean, every word I said, right? Paul said, forgive me. I did not know he was the high priest. And what it shows us is, it lines up with the rest of God's word, we are to honor the position, not necessarily the person. Do you see the difference? We can't honor and respect certain people because they're too wicked. But we are to honor the position. And that is, we speak respectfully and have it in the right way. Doesn't even mean we don't sometimes rebuke someone in that position. There is a biblical rebuke for position as well. But we have to do things the right way, the way that God lines it up. In Jude, it talks about that. It talks about, again, not speaking like brute beasts who don't know what they're doing, rebuking dignitaries and thinking they're doing something godly. So we have to be very careful. So we'll notice that. Number one, it's always safe, always, to say, the Lord rebuke you. You can speak in the name of Jesus, the Lord rebuke you. Leave this place. Get out of my home. The Lord rebuke you. Whatever the case, that's fine. You're always on good ground. Now, does that mean we can never say, I rebuke you? I do believe there are times, and this is one of them. Paul here, notice, he didn't say, the Lord rebuke you. He said, I command you, come out of her right now, this very hour, and the demon came out. So I think there are times when we can give a direct rebuke to the demonic realm, but I do believe that we need to make sure that it's really the Lord. And see, Paul had waited many days. He knew it was God and said, come out of her. God gave him that authority. He spoke in that authority. And I realize we have the authority over the demonic realm. I'm just bringing in all the other factors, okay? So what I'm saying is yes, we need to pray against the demonic realm. You're going to be on very safe ground. The Lord rebuke you. You'll always be safe there. Just make sure that if God's telling you, look, if God's saying you're supposed to say to someone, you know, come out of them, then you obey the Lord and you do what God told you to do. There's been a couple of people I want to say that to, but I didn't think it was the Lord, so I didn't say come out of them. I'm joking. That's a joke. I've shared with you guys before, we had somebody call up years ago, the secretary was just attacking the secretary, just horrible things. And they're like just sitting there just like frozen, like, what do I do? This person's attacking me like crazy. And it was again, great because I forget who it was that said it, but somebody there, you know, they said, just ask them what their name is and how many there are, right? I don't advise that. I don't advise that. Either way, he came out of that hour. Notice, but when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. That is, they're going to now, again, bring them before the authorities. And the next time we get into this, we're going to see how they come in there. And again, they beat them and put them in prison and do all these things that they're going to do to them. But what you need to realize here that's very interesting in this is that they drag them, this whole story of the woman, we kind of forget about her, don't we? I mean, think about her for a second here. Here she is. She just got delivered from the demonic realm, and it doesn't tell us anything else about her. I suspect that we may see her in heaven. Here's why I suspect that. Jesus said that if you cast a demon out and they don't receive the Lord, you know, something doesn't fill that void, that demon will come back and bring seven demons worse than they are. So actually, you're doing worse for somebody. If you cast a demon out and you don't share the gospel with them, it leaves them in a worse state than they were before, right? So Paul knew that. And Paul, no doubt, was saying to her, you know what? Look, you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. You've been hearing us. You've been speaking the truth, but you've not been receiving it. By the way, notice this. She believed and she spoke the truth, but she wasn't saved. She only got saved when she turned away from the demonic realm and received Jesus as her Lord, if she got saved. I don't know that she did. But I suspect that she did because, you know, again, I think Paul would have shared the gospel. I think about the demoniac that was there with Jesus, gave his life to the Lord right after he was delivered. She probably did the same thing. I think it's going to be cool. Get to heaven. Who knows? Maybe run into her. What's your name? I'm Mark. What's your name? And she'll tell me your name. Yeah, well, what did you do this? Then whatever. She'll say, "What is there something I'd recognize on the earth? Whatever. Yeah, I was the one that was following Paul around going, ha, 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 right? That was you? Your voice sounds great, right? Well, it's different now and all that. No, that's so neat that you got saved. Yes, I know. It's like it was such an oppression and all, but God delivered me and set me free. And wow, here's what happened after that. Can you imagine how exciting that's going to be to find out these stories? Now, again, I don't know if that's her story, but I say that to say this. Number one, hopefully she'll be there. But number two, listen, just because we see someone whose life is really messed up and maybe even demonically possessed or oppressed, and there's two different things. Possession and oppression are two different things. But it doesn't mean we write them off. It would have been very easy to say, you know what, just get her out of here. She's causing trouble. Leave her behind. Let's move on and don't deal with her. I wish it told us what happened because it would even be a stronger point. But the same point can be made, and that is this. Just because someone may be struggling and be a problem, Jesus loves them. Jesus died for them. And we don't just try to cast them away and not have to deal with them anymore. We try to help them and bring them into the kingdom and help them grow in the Lord. And so it's an attitude of love for all those around us. Look, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be standing up and opposing and making their, you know, screaming and yelling or whatever at this Tuesday, you know, council meeting or whatever. But listen, Jesus died for them. He loves them. And we have to remember, he loves them. They don't know what they're doing. They're blinded. And what did the Lord say from the cross? He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Now, some of them may know what they do, and God will hold them accountable for that. But there's a lot of people doing it just because they want some cause to stand for. Every generation, there are people looking for a cause. Although they just want to march in the street, hold a sign, and have a cause. And I'm not, you know, taking away from all the real good causes that are out there that people stand for. I'm simply saying it's human nature. People want to feel like they're making a difference. They want to be a part of whatever. But we as believers that have our eyes open have to realize Jesus died for them and Jesus loves them. And we need to share the gospel with them and try to lead them to the Lord. And so I no doubt think that Paul probably did this here. The question is for us as we finish this today is, what about you? Have you been led to the Lord? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you believed in what the Lord has done? Now, probably most of us have. But there may be some in here that haven't done that this morning. And for the first time, the Lord is opening your eyes the same way he opened the eyes of this demonic woman here. I'm not saying you're demonic. It doesn't mean you're possessed just because you don't know the Lord. Matter of fact, there are very few possessions in relation to the number of people on the planet. But here's the bottom line. You may be oppressed. You may be believing wrong things. God is opening your eyes and you realize, I need Jesus Christ. I know that I'm a sinner. I need to have my sins forgiven. I realize that one day I'm going to stand before God and give account, and I want to be a part of that. And so if that's you this morning, I want to pray for you as we finish today that you'll make that decision to give your life to the Lord, and pray for all of us here as believers that we will count the cost of walking with the Lord. There is a cost that comes with it, and pray for boldness that will not be afraid in our generation. Listen, I one way I want to say the worst thing they can do is kill us, but for a lot of people that makes people more afraid. Here's the bottom line. Jesus said, don't fear those that can hurt the body, and that's all they can do. He said, fear those that the one that controls your soul for eternity, whether it's in heaven or whether it's in hell. And that's the decision we have to make as believers in standing in boldness, but also for those who don't know the Lord and where you want your soul to be for eternity. And so I want to pray for you right now. Let's pray. Father, I want to just pray for us, first of all, as believers in here, Lord, that you would give us boldness. Lord, we live in very dark days, and we look back at all the heroes of the faith, not just you, but other prophets and leaders who weren't afraid to stand for the truth, even when it came with a cost. Lord, let us be those. Let us not be those who get in heaven and just say, well, I was afraid. I never did anything. Let us be those who are bold and willing to make a stand now, especially in a season like this, Lord, where we see such an opportunity to stand for righteousness in the face of darkness overtaking the world. Give us courage. Give us boldness. Let us not be afraid. Even as you gave that courage to Esther, give it to us. And God, we see the reward you gave to Esther and Mordecai for their obedience. And Father, I pray right now for any in this room who don't know you. Or once again, I often think at this moment, Lord, of those listening by radio, those streaming, whatever the case might be. And Father, I just pray in Jesus' name, if there's someone right now that you're moving in their heart, saying, you're revealing to them for the first time ever, they need Jesus Christ. They realize they've been lost. They realize they don't know you. They realize they're not going to heaven. But right now they realize also that you died for them on the cross, and they can by simply receiving what you did in and through your blood. If that's you, tell the Lord you're a sinner. Confess it before him. Ask him to forgive you of all your sins and tell him you believe that he died on the cross for you, that his blood is the payment that the Father accepts in your place. And receive him now as your Lord. Give yourself to him. Turn from your sin, and the Bible says you'll be born again. Father, I thank you for the work that you did during this service time. I thank you for the work that you're doing right now. And we give you all the praise for any and everything, Lord, that is accomplished for your kingdom. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.